You're listening to Fire and Adjust with Ron Fugel, where 3 days a week he interviews today's top military and veteran entrepreneurs, bringing you the tips and strategies they learned along their journey to success, leaving you motivated and ready to fire and adjust.
What's going on, guys? Really, really excited for today's guest. What he's working on, the project that he's working on is going to make a big difference, I think, to the military and to this world. So I won't keep you guys too long, but I do have some stuff to talk about, some stuff I've been working on in the background here that I've mentioned a few times here and there, you know, briefly, but it's getting a little bit closer, and I'm actually to a point where if you guys want, you can actually start joining. So I've been working on a free membership area that's no charge to you guys whatsoever. I highlight the actual, I say top five, but there's actually six tools that I use to launch and grow Fire and Adjust. I actually go into short little videos for you guys and everything and show you how to sign up and get started with them. It's stuff that really helps with your workflow and saving time. You know, as us solopreneurs out here, it's hard when there's a lot going on and it's just you. You know, if you don't have money for all these virtual assistants and stuff like that that all these guys talk about and preach about in the other podcasts, then, you know, this stuff will really, really help you keep things on pace and keep things going, and so you don't drop the ball and stuff. So, again, it's free of charge. Now, not only do you get that, but I'm also building a perks page for members only. Now, on that page right now, there's a couple that are there already, and I'm working in on some other negotiations with some other people out there right now. But these are some decent discounts for you guys. Everybody wants to support the veterans and whatnot. So if you are a veteran, you're in the military or whatever you're at, you don't have to be. Anybody can join. But jump in. Go to fireandadjust.com/join. Get in now because it's only going to get better. You know, and who knows where this is going to go eventually. So thanks, guys. I won't keep you any longer, but let's get into it. I'm really excited to welcome today's guest to the show. He is a U.S. Naval officer with 16 years combined service. He's also working on a smartphone app that we'll get into a lot more details here in a little bit in the show, but I'm really excited for it, so I couldn't wait to get him on and talk about it. But real first, let's welcome Lieutenant Daryl Dipty to the show. Welcome, sir, and thank you for your service, continued service.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Ron, for having me.
So what you're currently in, what do you do for the Navy?
Right now, I am what we call an information professional. I work with computer systems and computer security for the Navy.
Okay, that's cool. And yeah. You just got a recent promotion or something like that, didn't you?
Well, recent as in like 4 years ago. But yeah. I recently got increased responsibility, but kind of maintaining the same rank. That's
a lateral promotion.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what we do for business.
So how'd you end up in the Navy? What happened? I like to generally start the shows off with...
Absolutely, man. Yeah. So my story is... I'm not sure how odd my story is, but... Or maybe it's very similar to most of your folks, but I actually joined the Navy at the age of 18 and when I enlisted. And at the time, I was a high school dropout and I had a pregnant girlfriend at the time. So I was really low on options in life and I kind of wanted to make the best for my family, you know? So I signed up with... I had a good friend who recommended I go see the Navy recruiter. And within 2 weeks, I was shipped off to boot camp, enlisted as an aviation mechanic, did 5 years of that, and picked up E5 in about 4 years, 3.5, 4 years. And put in a commissioning program called the Seaman to Admiral program. Got picked up for that, did computer science, because I've always kind of been a computer geek, you know? And did computer science with a math minor at the University of North Florida, down in Jacksonville, Florida. And after that, went to flight school. Didn't like that too much. And that's how I ended up doing a lateral into the information professional community.
You didn't like flight school?
Yeah. I realized the flying was not for me. Even though I worked on airplanes for 5 years as a mechanic, the actual act of flying was not for me.
Right.
Wait, you know, go figure, right?
Well, I don't know if I could do it either, man. I every simulator I've ever run, I've crashed in like 5 minutes. So I said, you know what, I'm all set.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I'll keep it to the video games. But yeah, after that, I got the lateral into computer for the Navy, basically. And my first tour was with in Norfolk, and I almost immediately got sent to Baghdad, Iraq, for 12 months. And I did that, and over there I worked with the Intel folks and all that stuff, and keeping their computer network secure and up and running and all that good stuff. But right now I'm stationed in Norfolk, back again for my third tour, first enlisted and then two tours as an officer. I work with Admiral Gortney's team at Fleet Forces Command. I'm the Information Assurance Manager there, and the ISSM, and about 10 other jobs, of course. And yeah, that's what I do right now.
Now, for the people out there, so computer science is what your one of your degrees is in?
Yes, yeah. I have a bachelor's in computer science, and I have a master's in aeronautical science from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University.
Would you recommend, I mean, computer science just seems to be something that everybody wants to talk about going into. Would you recommend that still for people, or is that, are you kind of just secluded being in the military still? You don't see what that actual is out in the civilian world with that?
Right. Yeah, no. Computer science, I'll tell you what, man, the world's getting more and more and more interconnected, mm-hmm. right? Pretty soon you're going to have something implanted in your body that's going to be connected to the internet, right? Mm-hmm. Give it 20 years. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it's the government or whether or not it's a private company that's offering some service, you're going to be plugged into the web, your physical body. And our grandkids, they're going to be plugged into the web for sure. So computers, we say things like computer science, but the basis is that you just need to get into some type of information technology field, right? Not so much computer science per se, because that has to do a lot of coding and such. And if that's your passion, go for it. But you need to understand how these things work, right? So that if somebody says, hey, here's this thing that I could put in your body that will read off your blood glucose and your heart rate, and you could look at it on your phone, okay, that sounds really cool, right? Mm-hmm. But who knows? There might be some security implications of that, and there might be some adverse effects of that that might, you know, come and bite you in the butt down the line. So instead of just, you know, swallowing the pill and taking whatever people sell to you off the shelf, it's good to be educated so that at least at a very basic level, so that you know what you're dealing with. You know, some of these things could actually be quite have a double-edged sword, you know, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. So now, when did you start? I mean, you're an entrepreneur, it says, and I've read your LinkedIn and stuff like that. So when did you get that bug? Was that something you've always had? I mean, and define your what you mean by entrepreneur. So
yeah. So I think on my LinkedIn, I think I have it listed as a social entrepreneur. So yeah. So the bug, yeah, it was a tipping point at some point in my life. You're right. And it was during my deployment in Baghdad, oddly enough. So while I was out there, I don't know if I'm sure you've probably done a deployment or two, but while I was out there, you're working 7 days a week, right? 12 hours a day, 12 to 20 hours a day, because it really does range 7 days a week, right?
Right.
And it kind of adds up, and you start to, it starts to affect you negatively, mentally and such. So one of my refuges out there was once a week for 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon, we would go and do volunteer work. Me and, you know, a few other guys, we'd go do some volunteer work with the local Iraqi kids out there. All right. We a group had started what they called the Iraqi Boy Scouts, but it wasn't really just boys, it was boys and girls and families and stuff. And during that 2 hours, it was like the most rewarding experience, I swear, of the entire deployment for me. Once a week for 2 hours, right? And it was at that point I saw we made such a positive impact in the lives of these kids and in the Iraqi-American relations. It was just playing and teaching them to put out fires and tug of wars and having fun in the dirt. But it was so simple and so rewarding that is what, looking back anyway, was a tipping point for me. I was like, this is, the ROI on this is incredible. Several hundred magnitudes of return on investment for what I'm putting into this. Because it didn't seem like work. It didn't seem like there was some agenda. You know, you're just going to go out there and connect with people and help people. And the things we were able to do were incredible, absolutely incredible. So when I came back to the U.S., that bug was in me. I was like, okay, I think this is it for me, you know? So ever since then, every project or every paper I write or whatnot always has that angle of, how can we help more people, and how can we get things done, and how can we fix this problem? Because ultimately, I see myself as a problem solver, right? And with the particular aspect of helping solve social problems, and that's my expertise.
Now, you say expertise. Did you go to school for something? You have multiple degrees. So what exactly is it that you're working on? I guess you can go into and talk about the project that you got going on right now, Eva, because that's yeah. pretty much what I want to get into. But what happened there? I mean, there's got to be more to the story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know it. There's always more, right? Mm-hmm. Like any great politician. Okay. Mm-hmm. You asked about my expertise. No, I did not go to school for social entrepreneurship. But if there was a degree somewhere offered, I'd probably jump on that.
Well, not social entrepreneurship, but I mean, did you take any kind of...
No, I did not. No, this is all the school of hard knocks.
Right, right.
Okay. Yeah, you know. But so what happened with what... Okay, so this road I'm on, this Eva app that I've designed and I've built and such. Where this stems from is actually from my time in Baghdad. While I was out there, before I went out to Baghdad, I was actually engaged to a young lady from Canada, and we had a lot of life plans and all these things. And when I went out to Iraq, I started to notice a decline in my mental health, and I became very depressed and actually became suicidal out there at about the 4 to 6 month mark. At that point, I actually severed the relationship. I broke off with my fiance, the Canadian girl, and I kind of spiraled downwards, and I got over the stigma to go see a chaplain. And while I was there, I had about 45 minutes to 60 minutes to connect with this chaplain. And he asked all the right questions and stuff, but I had 60 minutes to divulge 6 months worth of mental angst, right? So the math didn't work out there. I had never met this guy. We didn't have that bond of trust like you would normally want to talk to a counselor. And then there was guys waiting at the door right behind me for their turn. So I kind of felt like a cattle being prodded through the system here. So when I came back to the U.S., I had that tacit knowledge of what it felt to be like pushed through the system, not being able to connect on a deep level with someone for over a long period, especially a counselor, and what it felt like to be depressed and suicidal. I had all this rich tacit knowledge that a lot of researchers are always trying to tease out of their subjects. So when I came back, seeing the social problem and being a social entrepreneur myself, I started to chip away at this problem. And I actually wrote a paper on it. The name of the paper is called Tackling Wicked Problems, Suicide in the U.S. Military. I had that paper. I wrote it. I had it published. And I presented it in Germany. And the international audience, actually, they loved it. They loved the concept. And I put a theory in there and all that good stuff. The theory of CEA, chronic emotional atrophy. Read it when you get a chance, right? But anyways, came back. And when I came back, I was like, you know what? If I don't do something with this paper, it's going to sit on the shelf. And it's just going to collect dust like most of the other papers I've written. So in the paper, I actually had a high-level blueprint for the Eva app. Just kind of stick figures and arrows and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna build this thing, man, because there's a suicide epidemic in the military. I know what it is to struggle. I know what the struggle feels like, you know, the aloneness and the stigma and these things. I was like, if I gotta do something, because this is just, we're spiraling out of control here. So I started. That's what started the whole Eva journey for me. And so just to let you know what Eva is. We're talking about Eva. People don't even know what Eva is, right? So what Eva is, it's a smartphone app that will hopefully be launched in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Fingers crossed here. Anyway, so the Eva app is a virtual therapy room. It's a virtual therapy room that allows a user and a counselor to connect in an encrypted private space, and they can do interactive journaling in the form of pictures and videos and audio notes and text. And it allows them to continuously be connected regardless of geography or time zones. And it also allows, obviously, the user to continuously vent and express his emotions and his feelings and all these things. So the user is never alone, because he knows that somewhere on the planet, his counselor is on the other end in this private encrypted virtual therapy room. So he can continuously vent. So he's never alone. He can now interact with his counselor privately and overcome the stigma right? You don't have to put on the, hey, I'm a badass who's a sissy, who's seeking help, right? Because even though we're trying our best to get over the stigma in the military, it's still there, unfortunately, is that that's going to be a long battle. So now you can seek help in the private of your own mobile space, right? In your tent, in your chew, or even in your private home. And then also the counselor on the other end gets to have this long long list of subjective data, right? Because he's continuously interacting with you day in, day out, week after week. And he could kind of trend you. Are you going up? Are you going down? Is now a time where he should probably get the chaplain involved if he's not physically able to come to you for whatever reason. If you're a deployed soldier in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and your counselor, who you have a strong bond with, is in Norfolk, well, then perhaps if he sees you kind of spiraling downwards for whatever reason, your wife is having issues or your kids or whatnot, perhaps he could send a message to the chaplain and say, hey, go check on Sailor Bob or Soldier Timmy, because I've been tracking him for the last few months and he's not doing too good. He needs to have a heart to heart. So anyway, so that's what EVA is in a nutshell. It allows a safe zone where hard, tough guys in the military can make themselves emotionally vulnerable and express themselves in an honest, open way without fear of retribution or fear of negative stigma. And that's EVA in a nutshell.
Do you think that negative stigma is one of the biggest problems out there? I mean, to me, as soon as you said it, it makes sense. Yeah, they train us to not be vulnerable, to be invisible.
You're right.
You know what
right,
I'm saying? Yeah. It's not something that you'd be readily willing to admit, especially if you're working in a small crew out there.
You're right. So let me tell you a small story. It's funny you bring that up. My travels, I tend to travel the world a lot and learn from other people's experiences. Right, on my business card, it actually says, "Each man is my brother, that I may learn from him." Right, so I don't know if you saw it in my Facebook or LinkedIn, but it says that I've been to India and I've studied with the Dalai Lama and I try to use holistic approaches to life and so forth. So the Navy SEALs, through the network, kind of trickled down to me. But long story short, a Navy SEAL buddy of a friend of mine said, "Hey, you know what? This EVA app is great, but I don't think they're gonna want to use this thing because the guy who invented it is like using words like holistic, and he hangs out with the Dalai Lama. That's not really the image they want, you know. So is there a stigma? Absolutely, there's a stigma. There's a stigma to even hang out with the Dalai Lama, much less say you need help, right? So, I mean, I was like, when I heard that, I was like, wow, talk about the problem just staring you in the face. You know, you're literally describing the issue of, yes, there's a solution that could possibly work, but they probably won't use it because the guy who's selling it to them uses words like holistic. Basically, I'm a tree hugger, right? Yeah. And they don't want to take a medicine from a tree hugger. They want it from Rambo. So, yeah, I mean, understandably, that's the world we live in. That's the military that we currently live in, we're kind of, from day one, we're trained to be machines, right? Mm. You don't want to smile too much because, I mean, you're going to see some hardcore stuff, and it tends to be easier if you kind of numb it, if you numb your emotions. But in the paper that I suggest everyone read, in the paper, it actually says, my theory of CEA states that that's actually the problem. By numbing your emotions, you're actually causing this problem of depression depression, aggression, and suicide, and all these things, because the emotional epicenter is what makes us human. And the minute you kind of kill that, you become, when the time comes when you need those emotions again, you're not going to be able to have that functionality.
So it's something that, I mean, I understand the necessity of numbing that or taking that out of the equation, especially for people on the front line and stuff. You can't lose a reaction time due to emotional, you know what I'm saying? So I understand why.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But is it something you're saying that can't be brought back after it's gone?
There's a time to be, hey, you know, the building's on fire. Let's run out. Let's not sit and cry about it and talk about our feelings, right? Let's get out of the building. And maybe afterwards, we should be able to at least have the ability to express our emotions. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the guys on the front, dude, one Marine, was he a Marine? I can't remember if he was a Marine or soldier. He tried to, he's a survivor of suicide. He tried to kill himself by shooting himself in the stomach with his M16, right? I won't give his name, but he lives on the West Coast. He said that while he was on patrol, right, his convoy got blown up, right, at a checkpoint. And as he was in the Humvee behind the one that got blown up, he jumps out the Humvee and goes to try to pull his buddies out, and there's, you know, charred remains, people on fire and dying and stuff. And he says he drops on his knees and starts to cry, right? And his company commander says, well, I don't want to use any bad language, but he basically says, hey, suck it up, stop being a you know what, and let's get to work. And you know, that mentality was just, it's throughout. It's from wall to wall. There is no moment where somebody says, time out, okay, let's all be vulnerable now, right? It's like, hey, you have to be hard all the time. So that has serious rippling effects on the human psyche that I believe is causing us to have things like depression, suicide, and all these things. Well, when he heard about Eva, he reached out to me. He was like, yeah, man, you know what? I read your paper, and I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're onto something, because I've been numb, and now that I was numb for my entire time in the Army or Marines or whatnot, and now that I'm a civilian, I feel like I can't turn it on because it's not there anymore, right? It's like the language of being human, the language of love, and the language of all these deep human things. You haven't practiced that language for 10 years of being in the military. So now when it's time to practice it and be a dad again and be a husband again or a wife again, you can, because you've lost that language, right? That second language.
Yeah. So you do have to remind yourself at times, you know. I mean, it's sadly, yeah, I mean, right. I even do, you know, but, and I didn't go to combat, so I can't even imagine what some people have gone through and what they're dealing with. You know,
I can only imagine. Yeah. Yeah. You sprinkle a layer of PTSD or trauma or some crazy stuff on there, and that just complicates the matter even more, you know?
Yeah. So in a couple of weeks, you're launching this, and so you got people ready to go. I mean, how people are taking it? What's the word out there?
Yeah, so right now, like I said, hopefully 2 to 3 weeks. So right now we have a lot of people on the user side, right? The military guys or the civilians or whatnot, who are kind of lining up to use this thing. But for Eva to work, there has to be counselors on the other end, right? You're not going to sign up and talk to no one. You want to talk to a counselor that you could connect with,
right?
Whether it's your counselor or just a counselor that's offering services. So right now I'm in the process of recruiting counselors, and the type of people that we're looking for is psychology students, masters and PhD level, or faculty, or crisis center people who take in calls at crisis centers, or maybe AA counselors and so forth. The people with a certain level of skill involved, and who naturally have a lot of empathy and compassion in these things. So I would point all of them to the website. It's evasaveslives.com. That's evasaveslives.com. And if you go there, you can sign up to get info to be a counselor, and we'll get that information. We'll request some more info from you to vet you, and if we think that you meet the mark, then you could sign up to be a counselor and connect with others and so forth. So.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this and you're qualified, you know, I would strongly urge you guys check it out. And you said it was evasaveslives.com?
You got it. Saves, right. S-A-V-E-S, lives.com, E-V-A.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I'll get that in the show notes and everything for sure for you.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
So what else you got going on? I mean, are you designing? I mean, how'd this whole thing come about for the guys out there that are transitioning? I mean, it's about entrepreneurship and everything. So what, I mean, is this app something you're building yourself, or you got a team working for you, or did you go out and outsource it? What's the deal?
So I'll tell you what, man. You really kind of sometimes you stumble through life, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, right now we have a team, and it's four or five of us. And it's just been an incredible journey. Right now I have a developer. His name is Mike. He's in Ohio. And me and him have connected so much that we're now partners, basically, right? It was more like a client, you know, relationship with a client and a developer, but now we're just partners. He's a bona fide member, partner in the Eva project. And I met him online, you know, just scouting and trying to find a good developer. And this guy is just so full of compassion for humanity. It is incredible. I thought I was like alone in the world, but this guy is, no, this guy is, he's got me beat. He needs to make a Hollywood movie of his life when he's done here. But I got him. I've got a guy named Andres, and he's a counselor type. He offers the counselor expertise to the group and gives that angle. And then I have my brother, who's a businessman. He's got the business mind, and then he runs the numbers and stuff. So it's the four of us. But as far as people who are transitioning, my advice would be this, man. All right? You have to start – you have to start with why, okay? Now, the word entrepreneurship is a nice buzzword, and everybody wants to start a business. And who knows, somebody might be getting out right now, and their best friend has a really great idea, right? They say, hey, let's go into business together. If you are not as passionate as this person is about that idea, you need to let that one, put that on ice, and let him find someone else, all right? Because the passion, starting with why, whatever the answer is to you, for why you should start your business, that is going to be what keeps you going, okay? Because it is like running a 4,000-mile marathon with any type of entrepreneurial endeavor. It is not a turnkey. Chances are you're not going to be the next Groupon or the next WhatsApp.
You want to know, right? Take a look around. Look at anybody that's actually launching a project or something new or anything like that. And look at the pictures of them while they're in the process of that.
Oh my gosh,
they look like they're beat and run down and freaking on drugs.
I am currently sleeping 4 hours a night, my friend. Yeah, at least. At the most. You know?
I'm burning at both ends too, brother. I just launched this too, so I understand completely.
Absolutely. And even when I can sleep more than 4 hours because I've got nothing going on, I naturally wake up after 4 hours because I know there's stuff I need to do, right? So it's not like, well, you know, I really – no, seriously, my body is now trained because every hour I sleep over that, I'm losing it somewhere else. Plus, I got to factor in family time and all that stuff too. So, I mean, if I got to do EVA and then my day job and then family time, I really can only sleep about 4 hours a night. And I pop in little cat naps here and there, you know, a 20-minute power nap here and there. Like, well, I took a power nap right before I spoke to you.
Right. And that's where the passion thing comes in. If you don't have it, you're gonna phase out.
That passion is what's going to separate the mice from the men. Because I'll tell you what, buddy, there's going to be a lot of naysayers out there who's going to hold you by the throat and tell you that what you're trying to do is, one, impossible, two, it's stupid, and three, it's never going to work, right? And you know what's going to keep you going? It's going to be your answer to why, your passion. That is what's going to drive you, all right? There's so many – if I could only tell you how many times I got punched in the gut, right? I'm trying to save people's lives here, man. I'm trying to save my own life, right? And I've got expert PhDs, and I've got all kinds of highfalutin people not saying I'm stupid, but basically not being as supportive as I think they would be with someone who's trying to do something like this, right? And I'm putting that very, very nicely. There are some really mean people out there, man. And whether you might be stepping on their ego, they might see you as a competition or a threat or something. I don't know what it is, but there's no shortage of ways to help people in this world. And I don't see why that'd be a competition thing. But anyways, yeah, you're going to run into some issues. You're going to run into people who just want to pull you down. And you got to have that passion. You got to start with why. And once you do start, all right, you got to focus. And this, I'm stealing this from my Airbnb, thing I read about Airbnb. But they say you got to focus on the first 100 customers. Like, each of them are individual, like one-to-one connection. And that's it. There's no one else. So you would have to go above and beyond for your first 100 customers like you would not do for anyone else in the world. Treat them like your mother, all right? And word of mouth will naturally – your concept will naturally spread by word of mouth. So if somebody comes with some out of left field weird request, yeah, you're going to have to take care of them because they are part of your first 100, right? And once you get that movement and that momentum going, then naturally – you could start weaning back a bit and stop spoon feeding them, so to speak, you know. But the first 100, you got to be a butler. You got to start running the route and all these things, and doing some real heavy, you know, some dog work, so to speak, just to make the connect. It's really a proof of concept is what you're doing. So the first 100 is truly a proof of concept, because nobody really knows if any idea is really going to work. It might sound like a brilliant idea, It might sound like a really stupid idea, but you really don't know if it's going to work, right? Yeah. Airbnb, eBay, Twitter, all these things, they sound really crazy. There's so much trust involved, and there's so much just weird, you know, caveats to each of them, but yet they're wildly successful. And 10 years ago, if you ask these questions, do you think Twitter will work, the Twitter concept or the eBay concept or whatever? Like, no, I don't think people trust each other that much. But yeah, like, guess what? They're doing it, and they're multi-million-dollar companies now.
Yeah, and it feels to me like it's still just getting started. That's what's crazy.
Absolutely right. So yeah, the passion is the first thing. You got to start with why. Why do you want to get a business?
Did you read Simon Sinek's book, the Start With Why? Did you read that book or no?
No, I didn't read the book, but I watched the video, and that hit like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that right there, I only watched that video like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And I've been doing EVA for like two years now, right? And when he gave the story with the golden circle and all that, I was like, dude, this guy's in my head, man. This is what I've been living, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I am in his story. I feel like I'm the Wright brothers here, right? I am just a lowly lieutenant, and I'm trying to save the Navy, trying to save the military. And they have a panel full of PhDs. They got millions of dollars in funding. They got all the experts, all the geniuses, and I'm just a lowly LT with the paper that I wrote on CEA, funding this stupid app by myself, right, with no kind of backing. I've been to the Pentagon. I've been all over, and I'm like this fleet. I won't go away, and they just keep swatting in the air. But no, I'm not leaving, man. I'm right here. Right?
No, yeah, that's what I say. It's fire and justice is never going away. It might change to something different, but it's never going to go away. You know,
exactly.
And I think the little guys are the ones that do make the changes, man. The big corporations like that, the big companies, it just takes too much, and there's too much politics involved, and too much freaking pocket padding that just. Absolutely. Never right. happens, you know.
And I'll tell you why the small guy usually has a better chance. And this is maybe a silver lining for some of you guys listening. The bigger the organization is, it's going to be harder to make iterative changes, because as your idea grows and it matures, like my EVA concept, it has changed. The concept has maintained more or less the same. But the ideas of how those the concept is implemented has changed probably a good two dozen times already,
yeah.
Right? And if this was a huge company, it'd have to go through vetting and probably go up to the board and all these. No, I can make a decision on the spot right now. I could call my detailer, my developer, and say, "Hey, Mike, do this A, B, C, X, Y, Z. Done." Right? Within 24 hours, it's done. Yeah. If this was like you know, some big governmental board or something like that, that couldn't happen, right? It's like you're trying to turn a steamboat on a dime, and it doesn't happen.
Right.
And I'm in my own canoe. I could just freaking, you know, crank 90 degrees, no problem. So that there's a lot more agility involved when it comes to the one man, two man, five man team, which is a beautiful thing, because I see my team as like a mini family, right? When I go up to DC, I visit Andreas. I'm planning to make a trip to Ohio, and I'm saying, let's grill out. I want to meet your daughter. Let's do all these things. And it's really that passion is there, because we know we're trying to do the right thing for the right people.
Right.
It's not about money and ROI and stakeholders and ego. I'm not trying to get a fancy plaque on my wall because of this. I'm not part of some giant million-dollar team. I'm just a guy who's just trying to do the right thing. I see it as a moral obligation, and that's my passion, right? Well, that's what's fueling this machine here.
And you saw a need for something, and it's not there, and there's nothing out there that's a proper fix, especially for the military people who are stuck overseas, unfortunately, in a remote area with maybe even a phone only remotely. At times,
absolutely.
You know,
and guess what? It's not just the military folks. It's the military spouses. It's the military kids, right? It's the kids, not even people who are outside of the military, right? Pure civilians. One in four Americans perceive that they have no one trustworthy to confide in with their serious personal problems in life, right? So much so that our society has come down to, we're all isolated individuals, right? It's a sad, sad, unfortunate reality that so many people feel so alone. So EVA can actually help folks connect and make themselves emotionally vulnerable in a very private space where no one's going to judge them, you know?
You can't go on Facebook. You can't go on. But, I mean, the internet might be part of the problem that we're having, but the social networks and stuff, you can't go and vent to talk to people. Everything's public now. I mean, you can't sneeze without the whole freaking country.
Without somebody jumping down your throat.
Right. You know?
I know. It's crazy. It's really sad. Yeah, it is sad. So yeah, actually, so yeah, Eva is like the opposite of Facebook, right? It's not public. It's totally encrypted, totally private, totally one-to-one, right? As opposed to everything else that seems to be open and everything.
So, no, is it just restricted to military personnel? Or are you going
to No, this is open to – once it's launched, it'll be open to everybody. So because I want to help in addition to military, I also want to help like kids who are being cyberbullied. I want to help people who are down on their luck and just need – maybe they just need some mentoring or they need to connect with a chaplain and, you know, these kind of things. Everybody needs help, right? The idea was spurred from my military experience. But ultimately, this is going to help everyone.
Right.
So hopefully, you can cast a net as far and wide as you can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the numbers are staggering in the military, but I think they're on a steep rise for the civilians too. Because you and I briefly talked earlier, but I mean, I've lost two this year and a couple last year to suicide. So it's not a, you know, it's not a, not something people should take lightly. It's a, there's a lot of it going around.
And I'll tell you what, you know, some people, everyone reacts differently to their mental angst, their mental stress and so forth. So while Johnny might commit suicide, you know, Sally might go on a homicidal rampage, right? Or Mike might start drinking heavily, right? So everybody, it really affects everyone differently, right? The stress of aloneness, the stress of life, It's not just suicide. It's a whole gambit of negative effects that we're all suffering from here.
Right. Well, I mean, because we're spotlighting the worst case scenario, but yeah. I mean, your whole life can go by and before you even realize it, you know, and so that's crazy.
Yeah, indeed. So one thing I wanted to, because I know I'm trying to put an entrepreneurial spin on for your show here, because I know folks may or may not care about mental health, but I always want to touch on the entrepreneurial stuff. So one of the biggest, in my opinion, one of the biggest fallacies for budding entrepreneurs is this little fallacy right here. If I only had $20,000, I could do my XYZ app or solution or business or whatever, right? And that's a big red flag when I hear people think and say stuff like that. Money does not do anything. Okay. And it's a slight paradigm shift in thinking here. Money is just money, right? Money is like a rock. It's this thing that you could hold and throw and put in a bank. What really gets stuff done is a person, a human being with an idea, right? Who is resourceful. Okay, which is anyone, me, you, whoever's listening right now. If you are a human being with a brain in your head and you have an idea and you have oxygen that you can breathe and you have some food in the fridge and some people you could talk to, you could 9 out of 10 times, you could get some stuff done. All right. You do not need a $20,000 capital investment, yada, yada, yada. Now, you might not be able to start your idea off on a very grandiose scale, but you can build a prototype and you could probably get 2 or 3 people using it and maybe working that first 100. And yes, it might take 6, 12, 24 months, but guess what's happening in the interim? Because somebody did not cut you that $20,000 check, you're building up a level of tacit knowledge that is going to help you to succeed, right? You're building up your skills of resourcefulness, talking to people and networking and trying to get stuff done for half price or this, that, and the other, savings and building on your this failed, this worked, me work on this and so forth. And it also helps you get your mindset right, because now if somebody cuts you a check for $20,000, you want to start doing immediately, when half the time you really don't know what really needs to be done. Because like I said, it's a highly iterative process. So as time goes on, things are going to sink in and you're going to say, hey, the market, maybe it's not respond. Maybe they won't respond to this angle. Maybe I should turn it 15 degrees and go a slightly different route. Right. So sometimes the worst thing that could possibly happen to an entrepreneur, this is going to sound really weird, maybe a little controversial, but I would think that the worst thing that could possibly happen to a budding entrepreneur is getting a big bucket of money off the bat, because you haven't built up that resourceful, the talent of being resourceful, the talent of having to climb up the mountain, right? You don't want an elevator up to the top, because you would not know the struggles of what it means to get there, and you wouldn't have the skill sets of knowing how to survive when you get that first punch to your gut, right? Because there's going to be a lot of punches.
And, so, and, you know, I tell you what, all these interview shows would be quite boring if everybody was just handed money and they just started the project. You would never have anybody with any fire or passion behind their business. You know,
yeah,
it would just be
That's what keeps the fangs out, man. I tell you, yeah, you're exactly right, exactly right. And I mean, some people, trust me, there's nothing wrong with having a rich dad or whatever the case may be. But I tell you what, you cannot put a price on the school of hard knocks, man, and the things that you learn just by not knowing what the hell is going to happen tomorrow, right? You see that little question mark and that little black box of, oh crap, everything might burn and crap, I might have nothing to show for tomorrow. That right there keeps you on your toes like you would not believe. And that right there teaches you more lessons than any PhD could possibly teach you, right? Absolutely. In entrepreneurship. Because that lack of, oh my God, is tomorrow the last day? Man, your brain starts going a mile a minute, right? You start, okay, who can I talk to? Maybe I could do this. Oh, there's this one connection and da, 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 da. Next thing you know, boom, you solve it. You solve the problem on the spot, right? Because you're forced. You're forced to solve the problem. Because if you don't force it, you die, right? Nobody's coming to save you. You will die. Like, so you talents come out of you that you never knew you had, right? And that's the magic of entrepreneurship, man.
Yeah,
that's the magic. Beautiful. And what keeps you from failing is that passion. That's why you have to start with why. If you just jump on some willy-nilly bandwagon just because your buddy wants to start up a business and you don't have that passion behind it, once you get to you're back against the wall and it's either you die or you solve the problem. If you don't have that passion, you're probably going to die because you won't be in the mindset of, oh my God, this is very, very important for me to succeed here. I have lives to save, or I have this to do, I have that to do, and this problem needs to be solved, and this is my thing, this is my baby, right? Guess what? If you're not in that mindset, you're probably going to let the ball drop, and you're like, hey, you know what? I guess it's not. This is wasn't for me, man. You know, and you start blaming it on lack of money, you start blaming it on the market, you start blaming it on a bunch of random stuff, right? But if you have that passion, and you will not need capital because you will be your own capital, right? You'll be human capital. You don't need money. You really don't. You just need to be resourceful and ask people for not monetary help, but for connections. Hey, how can I get a developer who might work, I don't know, pro bono, or maybe find somebody who's passionate like I did with like Mike, right?
Right.
And so forth. It's really I could not pay Mike what he's done for me. Let me put it that way. I could not pay Mike enough money to build what he has done today. And that did not take any money to do. What that did, and this goes on to my final note, is when it comes to networking and getting stuff done, I cannot tell you how important it is. And this is going to sound really stupid and cheesy. You have to be nice, you have to be respectful, and you got to be sincere and helpful to everyone. Every single human being you come in contact with. I'm not trying to be Dalai Lama tree hugger guy right now. I'm just trying to be serious, dead serious entrepreneur, because you do not know where that person is going to connect you with, who that person is going to connect you with to get your goals accomplished, right? So if you think this random dude, you just say, you know, you blow him off. Yeah, man, whatever, dude. You know, I don't need you. Guess what? He has an uncle who's connected to Obama or connected to some dude who's owns a development firm or something like that. You don't know that,
right?
So just treat everyone with respect, just like your grandmother would tell you, right? Treat everyone with respect. Treat everybody nicely. Smile, say please and thank you. And that's, you got to have that personal, that be able to look somebody in the eye and let them know that, hey, I got your back, man. Because I don't know if you have my back, but I'm willing to bet that after you interact with me, you will have my back, right?
Right.
Because a lot of what I've done today is based on that simple philosophy. Just treat people with respect, treat them nicely, and they want to help. They want to see you succeed. Nobody wants to see you crash and burn. More than that, they want to help you, all right? And that right there, that's probably my biggest little nugget. Just treat everybody nicely and keep talking about your idea and get it out there.
Yeah.
And they will naturally want to help you.
Absolutely. Know? And you can't give up. Don't ever take a no for an answer, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that once again goes back to your passion, right?
And yes, absolutely. And I know we're getting close on time and everything, but real quick I wanted to jump back to Eva and what we were talking about kind of segues into this. Now, you were kind of introduced that way through connections and stuff. Maybe you've been on TV, you've met some pretty special people and stuff because of your project and your networking, correct?
That is very, very true. Very, very true. And all due to random connections, right?
Right.
Random connections. I did a brief at the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, couple of weeks ago, and that the only reason that happened is because I gave a brief at a conference about a year and a half ago, and one of the guys who randomly heard me, I don't even know who this guy is, I can't remember his name, ended up meeting a guy at a bar in New York 2 months later, who Andres, who is now on my team. He met Andres at a bar, and Andres emailed me, and we went back and forth with email for like 3 months. We could never set up a time to schedule that we were both available. And I'm not going to lie, halfway through, I had so much stuff going on. I was like, and there was a small part of me that just wanted to say, you know what, let me just cut this guy loose, man. I don't know if this is going to pay off or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But guess what? I kept that connection. I was like, you know what? Let's be nice, man. Hey, you know what? I can't meet this week. I know this is the fifth time we've rescheduled. How about 2 weeks from now? No problem, buddy. Right? Yeah. Boom. Now this guy's like my best bud. He's my best bud, and he's the guy who knew someone who knew someone who knew someone. I'm not even exaggerating. Three deep. That got me to go brief at the Federal Communications Commission. Right? This is the guy I almost cut off. Almost. Just because I was just too busy. Right? Right. And now that. Because of his connections, I sat at the FCC for 8 hours and gave 3 presentations on EVA and the importance of being socially connected and the negative effects of social disconnectedness on public safety, right? They couldn't eat it up fast enough. They love the concept and all these things. So, and every day is a shooting, every day is a college shooting, or there's something going on, right?
Right.
So it's almost like I don't even need to search for data. Just turn on the TV, look for 5 minutes, you'll see what's going on.
Well, there's absolutely a need for it, no doubt.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's how I got there, just because I was nice, sincere, and just wanted to treat people with common courtesy. That's basically what it was.
Right. You never know who you're talking to.
Yeah. And that's networking, man. That's just basic networking 101 there.
Absolutely. Right? So Daryl, you know, generally towards the end of the show, what I'll ask my guests and everything is if they have any books or resources or anything like that, that they would like to recommend for people out there that are trying to get things started or trying to find their path and whatnot. And if there's anything, what do you got for us?
All right, so my recommendation, and I knew you were going to ask this question, so I had this locked and loaded here, right? Like my fire and adjust analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the book I would recommend, and this leans more towards the tree hugger side of me, but you'll see why. All right, the name of the book is called The Untethered Soul. The Untethered Soul. It is not a religious book, but what this book does is that it helps put the person who's reading it in control of their mind, okay? And the reason why that's important, the reason why this book has probably been more than anything else helpful to me in my EVA journey, my journey of social entrepreneurship, is because when you hit those obstacles, when you hit those people, the naysayers, and you see like the Grand Canyon that you have to cross and it just looks so impossible, what this book does is that it helps you put everything in perspective, man, right? It helps show you what's important and what's not important. And I don't want to give it away, but it's a book that it was the most powerful book I've ever read in my life. And I've actually read it about 6 times now. All right. Not even joking. 6 times. And I have it on audiobook. I listen to it to and from work every day, about 30 minutes worth of it. And it puts you in control of your mind. Right. And that's it in a nutshell. If I could put it onto one sentence, that's what that book does. So that if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling angry, if you feel all these negative things that we necessarily don't really like, what that book does, it helps you realize why you feel those ways, why you typically would feel like that, and it helps you put you back in a driver's seat so that you can navigate your way out of that mental darkness. That right there is going to help you help any entrepreneur more than anything when they hit those roadblocks, because there's a crap load of roadblocks waiting for all of us. Right, a crapload of Grand Canyons that need to be jumped, and if you don't have the mental agility and you don't have the mental strength to get across those Grand Canyons, you're gonna have a problem. So, The Untethered Soul by Mike Singer, give it a read, and let me know what you think.
I got a couple questions though, real quick. How did you come across that book? That sounds like a great book, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm gonna check it out. And I love Audible books, man. I go to sleep with earbuds in, man. I'm crazy.
That's great. Well, you know, we need to talk once you hit the stop button on the record. But I came across that book. I went to see the Dalai Lama in 2012.
That's what I was curious. So okay.
Yeah. So me and the Dalai Lama were drinking a beer. No, I'm just kidding. No. So yeah, I went to see the Dalai Lama and did some meditation in the Himalayas and stuff. Because of my mental health issues I was dealing with at the time. And came back, and I came back at such peace with myself. I remember waking up one morning and saying, why am I not angry? Why am I not, what something is missing, right? I felt like there's this 10,000 pounds lifted off my shoulders. And I remember trying, I'm not even joking, I remember trying to remember why I should be angry, because I felt like something, I was forgetting something really important, you know? And I was like, wait a minute, there's nothing there, you know? I was trying to force myself to be angry again because I had been, angry is not the right word, but, you know, depressed again because I had been so kind of under pressure for so long. Anyway, long story short, how did I get the book? My brother gave it to me. but the book and the Dalai Lama thing go hand in hand, it's a good stuff. It's good stuff if you're into that kind of deep thought and reflection on life and such.
Well, I mean, if there are people out there looking to start a business, then I would recommend checking it out. I haven't even read it, and I'm already interested in it because there is. I mean, there's days that I wake up and you know, you have that feeling, why me or what am I doing this for and stuff, and you got to sometimes you got to prep yourself. You know,
you gotta prep yourself, man. It's all in how you perceive the world, my friend. Yep. It is. That's where it starts right there. It starts in the mind.
Absolutely.
Control the mind, you control the world.
All right. We'll end on that, brother. I appreciate it. And thank you for everything, man.
Absolutely. Hey, I hope to talk to you again soon. All right.
All right.
If you're ready to fire and adjust, then head over to fireandadjust.com, where you will find complete show notes, links to all the resources mentioned today, and much, much more. Thank you for listening.